direct from CBS News, this special radio Net Alert news report.
This is Dave Marish for CBS News at the Olympic Games in Munich, West Germany. At this hour, two of the highest security officials in the Federal Republic of Germany are explaining to newsmen a tragic and duplicitous story. All of the facts that had earlier been passed on about what transpired at the NATO airport northwest of Munich were apparently incorrect. The truth of the matter is, as being revealed at this hour by the internal minister of Bavaria, Dr. Otto Merck, and the interior minister for the Federal Republic, Hans-Dietrich Genscher, are that all eight of the Israeli hostages are presumed dead. Repeat, all eight of the Israeli hostages are presumed dead. The Germans had, apparently, a well-laid plan involving the use of marksmen at the airport. But the Fedayeen, as they are referred to here, apparently outsmarted the Germans. They took two additional hostages, the pilots of the helicopters that had taken them from the Olympic Village to the airport. They forced the pilots to stand in the line of fire while the terrorists inspected one of the jet planes that had been placed on the airport in front of them. Apparently, there was a premature shot. In any case, the Fedayeen opened fire on the hostages, apparently killing most of them. One of the terrorists ignited a grenade inside the helicopter, killing himself, and it is believed killing all of the other hostages inside. German police officials can only say that one or perhaps two of the hostages may have escaped under cover of darkness, but they admit that only a search of the burned-out hulk of the exploded helicopter will prove or disprove that theory. At least one German policeman was also killed. One of the pilots of the helicopter is severely injured. Four of the terrorists are killed. Three others are captured. It is believed that several other terrorists may have escaped and may still be at large. In any case, the first story that was released through the official press office of the German Federal Republic and was passed on to German, American, and British television by the highest-ranking public relations officer of the German Federal Republic was totally and absolutely untrue. The story that the hostages had escaped through the masterful work of the German police and army was untrue. The statement that the president of the International Olympic Committee, Avery Brundage, was induced to make, announcing that the games would go on as usual because of the work of the police on the soldiers, was based on absolute misinformation. The truth of the matter is that all of the Israeli hostages are believed dead.
Dave, this is Mitchell Krause in New York. I wonder if you could clarify again for us specifically what issue regarding the hostages as far as how they were killed. Were they killed mainly by the Arab terrorists?
Well, now let us, we must be very leery about this. I would say that this case is the most absolute case of official misinformation since the infamous Attica prison case in New York State. So we must be very hesitant about describing events that we have not seen. The official German version is that the hostages were shot by the terrorists during an exchange of gunfire between them and the marksman who had been sent to the airport to shoot at the terrorists. However, there have been recorded very recently in Bavarian police annals cases of where police marksmen by mistake shot hostages rather than the people that they were shooting at. Suffice it to say that all the hostages are dead. Now again, to repeat the official story as it was given to us just moments ago by Dr. Otto Merck, the Minister of the Interior for the state of Bavaria, according to Dr. Merck, the hostages were brought to the airport in a helicopter. The pilot of the helicopter was then forced to stand in the line of fire between the marksman and the rest of the group while the terrorists inspected the airplane that was on the apron of the airport. Apparently, there was a premature exchange of gunfire, and at the first burst of gunfire, the terrorists opened up, say the Germans, on the hostages. Then, apparently almost immediately, one of the terrorists pulled the pin on a grenade, immolating himself and everybody else who was inside the helicopter that he was positioned in. The Germans cannot say for sure that all of the hostages are dead, but they can say that we can only assume that they are, Whatever hostages escaped would have escaped in the same kind of confusion, darkness, and explosion that apparently has allowed three of the terrorists to escape.
Yes, Dave, we had a report that no questions were permitted after that announcement at the briefing. Do you have that information?
Well, the briefing is still going on at this hour, and I would guess from mood of most of the pressmen that there will be questions. The German mode of news conference is most exasperating to American reporters, since no questions are permitted until the end of the conference, and quite frequently the object of those questions chooses to bolt when he has finished making his statement. Whether that will be the case tonight, I cannot say.
Getting back to the mood and the reaction of the reporters, obviously this was a tremendous shock after they had earlier been informed by the government officials that the hostages were safe. Had any of them a suspicion in the period prior to this that all was not well, that the information was not accurate?
There were several reporters who managed to get within several hundred yards of this airfield. Remember that this is not a civilian airfield, it is a military airbase, and therefore it was completely sealed off. The fact that there were several bursts of gunfire and then the explosion that destroyed the helicopter did start rumors that the official reports were optimistic. The Germans started to hedge their official reports fairly early, declaring that the first report that the hostages had escaped unscathed might have been optimistic, but right until the moment of the final news conference, they were holding to the story that the hostages were alive.
Given this latest tragic news, is there any possibility in your mind that they will resume the games tomorrow? Again, we had a report that the Olympic Committee had agreed that they would resume the games tomorrow.
Mitchell, of course it's premature to speculate on this, but it is inconceivable to me that in the face now of at least 10 deaths of Olympic competitors or delegation members, not to mention the German policeman who is known dead, the pilot of the helicopter who is believed to be critically injured, the terrorists themselves, it is inconceivable to me that they can go back to business as usual. All of the statements that were made by Avery Brundage, the president of the IOC, were based on false premises, premises that were obviously sold to him by the same people who sold them to the news media.
Dave, we have Bruno Wassertau standing by in Tel Aviv. If you'll stay with us, perhaps we can talk, all three of us, at the same time. Bruno, obviously it's too early for an immediate reaction on this latest news, but knowing the Israeli temperament and knowing the feelings today, how do you expect this will be received in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, all through Israel?
I think it'll be received the same way that the initial news was received, with shock and wonder and pain. I think that the Israeli authorities will be looking very carefully into exactly what happened, and the immediate reaction, I think, will be the immediate tightening up of security procedures wherever Israeli travel anywhere in the world.
Well, during the course of this day, what was the general mood in Israel as this news came in? Was there a mood of leading to a retaliatory strike? This, of course, is what one is led to expect by some of the previous cases.
In this case, I think it's pretty hard to pinpoint the direction of a retaliatory strike, because the Black September movement is a very small offshoot of the regular Arab guerrilla organization. And to really go in and say this place or that place should be hit would be rather questionable.
Yes, what has been the reaction to the fact that this happened in Munich, and now that all of the hostages are dead, of course, I wonder if the German angle in Israel has become important again.
It's especially tragic that the site of the tragedy was Munich, since Munich itself has a very long and odious history in the Israeli mind. It was just that these games were beginning to pay back by the German people some of the wrongs which were committed against Jewry and Israel. So the irony was even greater. I think there will be some feeling against Germany for the lax security procedures that prevailed around the Olympic Village and indirectly led to this tragedy.
Yes, Dave Marish, that security situation at the Olympic Village was criticized again tonight. Do you believe that this was the direct contributing factor to what happened? We heard a report that these individuals were spotted and people thought they were athletes trying out when they climbed over the wall.
There's no doubt that security at the village was at fault in this case. It is believed that many people actually saw these people climbing over the fence and simply assumed they were athletes. At the very least, one Canadian athlete told me that he had climbed over the fence himself a couple of hours before, and as he put it, if I can climb over the fence, anybody could have done it. Germans, of course, have had a particular problem here. The last Summer Olympic Games that were held in Germany were held in a super militaristic atmosphere, and there has been a conscious attempt on the part of the Germans to keep a very low military security profile. On the other hand, the Germans had been warned, the Israelis say, that some sort of attack might be made by Arab guerrillas against the Israeli delegation. The Israelis claimed that they had asked for extra security, and they feel, of course, that they did not get it.
Business of security in Tel Aviv, anyone who has flown El Al, Bruno Wassertile, or has seen the security now at Lod Airport, I wondered, you mentioned security precautions in Israel. Is this an indication, in your view, that the Israelis would expect that there might be additional incidents, or are they concerned about the reaction of their own population?
I think the Israelis are always aware that something may happen in the future, and that the Arab guerrilla groups, the extremist organizations, are looking for openings where they might cause some harm. I think it's a gradual procedure. A few years ago, the airlines, or El Al specifically, were vulnerable to guerrilla attack. The upshot of this was that the Israeli airline instituted a series of measures, such as having sky marshals, which have become almost commonplace on all airlines in the world today. And I think it'll be a matter of covering the places which up to now have been vulnerable.
Dave Marish, before we sign off, and perhaps before you go back to pick up the pieces at that government briefing that we understand is still going on, you mentioned that it seems inconceivable that the games could be resumed at least tomorrow. Is it conceivable from the standpoint of the athletes at the Olympic Games that any of the athletes themselves, even if the games were officially resumed, would want to resume the competition?
I would say that they would definitely be of two minds about that. On the one hand, this is an event that they have trained literally years for. It is the apex of their athletic lives. For them to give it up is a painful decision. On the other hand, there was absolute unanimity in the village of horror, shock, and dismay over the events of the day. I thought one of the most trenchant comments was made by the American lady track star, Francie Craker, who was asked whether politics might have gotten out of hand at the games, and her reply to Heywood Hale Broun was, this is not politics, this is murder. Many of the athletes expressed the desire simply to leave. One Ugandan athlete to mention that his country, of course, is having internal political problems with its Indian and East Asian minorities, said that he feared that new eruptions could come as a result of this. As he put it, the Olympic ideal seems dead. Here we are at war in the Olympic Games. Hans Joachim Vogel, who is the honorary mayor of the Olympic Village, the former mayor of Munich, the man who brought the games to this city, said that he finds the future of the games in doubt. He seems to doubt very strongly that they could go on tomorrow. I would think that the general feeling here is that there is no way that these games are going to avert cancellation now.
I wonder, Bruno Wassertile, if you have a question for Dave Marish. I may have to ask him on this three-way circuit, but if you do, I'll relay it to him in Munich. We are talking, incidentally, for the benefit of our audience, on a three-way circuit with Bruno Wassertile in Tel Aviv, Israel, and with Dave Marish in Munich. The news that was broadcast just moments ago, that the German officials have now announced that all of the Israeli hostages were killed in the airport firing incident that ended today's tragedy. And we are discussing that with Dave Marish in Munich and with Bruno Wassertile in Tel Aviv. Bruno, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I wondered if you had a question for Dave Marish in Munich.
Well, I think I'd like to ask the question that all Israel will be asking in a few hours when the dawn comes here and the people will be turning on their radios and hearing this shocking news. Israel fell asleep thinking that the rescue had taken place, and that all of the hostages were safe and sound. In a nutshell, exactly what happened?
Well, Bruno is asking Dave Marish for a report that he can relay to Israeli news sources when they wake up in the morning. It's the middle of the night, of course, in Israel. And perhaps, Dave, you could just again once more briefly recapitulate what happened tonight, according to the official spokesman that ended with his announcement that the Israeli hostages, in addition to some of the Arab commandos and one German policeman, were dead.
All right, again, we deliver this with what has become a necessary caveat of every story that is coming out of these games, and that is that this is an official version, and that every other official version that we have received tonight has been decidedly incorrect. However, the current official version is that the two helicopter loads of guerrillas and their hostages were taken to a NATO airbase northwest of Munich. There was a government plan to rescue the hostages. The government admits it never conceived of allowing the hostages to leave Germany for Tunisia or any other Arab destination. There were government sharpshooters stationed at the airport, which had been specially brightly lighted, apparently to provide them with a better target area. But the guerrillas apparently took defensive measures of their own. In addition to the Israeli hostages, they forced the helicopter pilots to become hostages. And they forced the helicopter pilots to stand in the line of fire while two guerrillas approached the plane that was on the apron, the alleged getaway plane. There was an exchange of fire, and the Germans are holding again to the fact that the Fedayeen fired first. And I would be the first to confess that I find that a dubious assumption. Nevertheless, there was an exchange of fire. At the first burst of gunfire, say the Germans, the Fedayeen turned their guns upon the hostages and opened fire. Yet another guerrilla inside one of the two helicopters pulled the pin on a grenade, killing himself and, it is believed, killing all of the people inside the helicopter. The Germans say that it is possible that one or two of the hostages may have escaped under cover of darkness. They also believe that three or four of the terrorists may have escaped under the cover of darkness. But the assumption is that all of the hostages are dead. It is also known that one German policeman is dead, that one of the helicopter pilots is critically wounded, and that four of the terrorists are dead and three of them are in captivity.
Dave, let me wrap this up with you now with just two additional brief questions. This happened several hours ago, did it not? And what do you suppose has been transpiring in this roughly two-hour period that we've had this evening when we had no news?
It is the whole concept of this kind of lying, and there is no other word for it, it mystifies me. I mentioned before that it seemed to me that the closest analog in American news history recently has been the Attica case. But in the Attica case, there was the self-interest of the people who tried to deceive the media involved, and there was also a reasonable feeling on their part that they could get away with it. It seems inconceivable to me that the German officials could have had any self-interest in coming up with an obviously phony story, and it also seems obvious that they could have had no hope of making this story stand up. How it could be that an official spokesman of the Federal Republic of Germany could go on the television networks of three nations with a story of a miraculous escape and a brilliant police operation, a story that had no basis in truth, is beyond me. What went on in those 2 hours, I don't know. I suppose if you are a conspiracy theorist, you would say that they were hoping to wait until most of this part of the world had gone to bed and missed the early morning papers. That sounds very lame, but the whole idea of lying in a case like this is beyond me, quite frankly.
It has been...
The irony here is that the relations between the Federal Republic of Germany and the nations of the Arab world had reportedly been improving over the past few months. The Germans, of course, have been one of the nations most ready to do business with the Israelis, something that has aroused the ire of many of the Arab states, but it was believed that the diplomacy of Foreign Minister Walter Scheel and the work of the Chancellor Willy Brandt himself had brought about something approaching a rapprochement. I would guess that all bets are off on all of those problems.
Well, Dave Marish, thank you very much.